Affirmations Revisited. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bartley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Affirmations Revisited. How often do we revisit affirmations? How often do we think about affirmations and think what they mean and think how they affect our life and what it means to us to say an affirmation? We like to say, I like me. We like to say, it's a wonderful day. We like to say, that was a good movie. We like to say, that was a good dinner. We like to say, it was so much fun to visit our friends. We like to say all these good things. And then time comes and we say not so good things. We say the dinner was bad. It was not a lot of fun visiting our friends. They were had trouble in their heart. And so forth. Now, as we revisit affirmations and as we rethink about affirmations, we come to the conclusion that an affirmation is affirming something that is good for us. Affirming something that is beneficial to us in our life. Now, how many times do we truly affirm something beneficial in our life? How many times do we truly think things that are uplifting and supportive for what we'd like life to be? With the group on campus, with the monks here, my tendency is to say to them each time we watch a movie, what were the beneficial things that were in that movie? What was the redeeming quality of that movie? What was the concept of that movie that was made it worthwhile to watch? And it's interesting to watch each of the monks as they think about it and then come up with a statement of what it was that they had seen. And interestingly enough, most of the time they come up with the obvious statement, the obvious sentiment that the movie was designed to present. And truly, if we are going to only come up with the obvious experiences, the obvious sentiment that life brings to us, we're missing out. We're really missing out. Because we want to look deeper into ourselves, into our lives, and into our experiences. We want to look deeper and find the more significant aspects of who and what we are. We want to really know who we are. Now, this is a metaphysical question that metaphysicians have asked themselves over the millennium. And none have come up with a satisfactory answer. But we've been told a satisfactory answer by many philosophers. We've been told that we are divine. We are good, we are created beautiful, that we are in fact God. Now, we're told these things by people who have studied deeply, and we know it ourselves. We know that we are number one. We know that each of us individually are number one, and that everything that we think and do is paramount to us. Everything that we think and do is the most important thing on the face of the earth. Now, some of us will say, well, no, certainly not. You know, other people's rights and other people's aspects. There are no other people. There are no other people on the face of this earth besides you, besides me, not us, but besides myself. And each of us now must think of ourselves, as I say myself. There's only myself. There's only me that looks at everything and says what it is. So as I look at all the world and I call it good, I look at all experiences and I call them good, and I look at every activity that I engage in and I call it good, then I'm doing beautiful things, and I'm enjoying beautiful things. I'm enjoying abundant health. I'm enjoying abundant relationships of desirable, delightful kind. I'm enjoying abundant wealth. I'm enjoying all of the things that I could ever want. And why am I enjoying these things? Because these are the things that I affirm. I look for the good in everything around me. I look for the good in every experience. What was the redeeming quality of the movie? Well, what was the redeeming quality of my visit with my friend? What was the redeeming quality of the dinner that I had? What was the redeeming quality of the adventure that I just completed, whatever it may be? What was the redeeming quality? What good is there in that? My question to myself at all times is, what is the redeeming quality? And as I ask myself, what is the redeeming quality, I come up with a very interesting answer. The redeeming quality was how good it made me feel because I looked for the good in it. Now, there is good in all things, and as I look for it, I will find it. And as I look for this good in myself, I will find it. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, for me to say, I am ideal spirit, mind, and body is quite a statement. And each morning as I sit in meditation, I say to myself, I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I do not say it in a rush. I do not say it as though I'm trying to understand it. I'm just cuddling the words. I'm cuddling the concepts. I'm falling in love with what I'm saying. I'm ideal spirit, mind, and body. Ooh-wee. Yes, indeed. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. And as I say that, as I affirm that, I feel a warmth vibrates through my entire being. I feel a goodness going through me that makes me feel so content, so positive, so uplifted. I feel very good. Now, how can I feel very good, just to feel very good when I might not be feeling very good? Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've heard that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. I've heard that. We hear the hymns of praise, the songs of praise. We hear the discussion of approval, of acclamation. We hear the applause of the audience as they hear a lovely piece of music or as they finish seeing a beautiful show that has been well presented. It always amused me as I would fly the airplanes across the oceans. This was back in the 70s, and I'd be flying and just having a great old time, and I would be blessing the airplane and blessing the pilot and blessing my ride and just saying, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. And then when the plane would land and the pilot would set the plane down, maybe bumpy, but maybe not. Usually he just sort of grease it in. And the group, the passengers of the plane, would sit there and applaud and sometimes even shout out, bravo, good flight, wonderful. And I was amused by that because I thought that was kind of childish. And I thought that was kind of strange. They don't do that anymore, because they've become perhaps a little more sophisticated. But in the days that they did that, a tingle of warmth, a feeling of joy, a feeling of magic soared through my soul. And I thought to myself, yes, good flight. I had to even applaud too. I had to even applaud, too. For the performance of the pilot was excellent. The performance of the airplane was excellent. My performance aboard the airplane was excellent. I sat comfortably and relaxed, peaceful. It was a wonderful flight. And everyone applauded. Are we forgetting to applaud the joyous things in life? Are we forgetting to applaud the things that make us happy? Perhaps we don't need to applaud outwardly, although I would think that would be a very wonderful thing to do. But we applaud inwardly. I give meditation talks virtually every day. I used to give many of them every day, and I sort of had what I felt might have been an overkill. And so I slacked off on them. The talks are still going on inside of my heart, inside of my soul, inside of my being. I'm living these wonderful talks, these wonderful affirmations that make my heart soar with joy. And sometimes at the breakfast table, when I give a specifically a delightful talk that charms my audience, they say, "That was beautiful. I enjoyed that." But most of the time, they don't say anything. Most of the time, maybe they're thinking good thoughts. I don't know. I'm sure they are. But they don't say it out loud. They don't say it to me. They don't say, "Oh, good flight," and clap and say wonderful things. We're sort of missing the bet. We're being sophisticated, and sophisticated people don't do that. But, oh, yes, they do. You go to the opera, and after the opera was so exceedingly well done, after the presentation of a musician, a pianist, or a violinist, or a symphony concert, the audience burns up their hands applauding, saying, "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful, super, fantastic." And what is happening when the audience is entering into such display? What is happening when the audience enters into such display is that it is their show. It is their activity. It is their life. It is their delight. And they say, "Wonderful, wonderful." And they're tickling inside, and they're giggling inside, and their life and their heart and their soul and their body is bubbling over with the feeling of joy, the feeling of magic, the feeling of wonderment. And as it bubbles over with this feeling, as each of the participants, the audience, listens, and participants, they are participating in the concert, they are participating in the performance, they are participating in the pilot landing the airplane. They are participating in life. And everything in life deserves applause, deserves a hooray. Hosanna. Yes, the Lord in the highest. As we have our affirmations, be applauded, be observed, be praised to the highest, our affirmations will more quickly, more readily, more bountifully bring to each of us the fulfillment of the affirmation's purpose. Each affirmation is only as good and only as fulfilling as the participant of that affirmation. An affirmation is for us to sort of reaffirm who we are, reaffirm what we are, reaffirm our goal, our dream, our desire, our aspiration. And as we affirm this with joy in our heart, with enthusiasm in our being, in theos, meaning in God in our being, then the wonderment, the joy, the harmony, the peace, the balance the balance. Perhaps the most impressive word we can ever think about, the balance. We are harmonious, we are balanced with our divine awareness. We are balanced with the world we have created in and for ourselves and around ourselves. We are balanced in our thought. We are balanced in our words. We are balanced in our affirmations. We are balanced in who we are. And that balance is such a good and a noble feeling, such a supportive and a uplifting feeling. Oh, it is so good. Applaud when the airplane lands. Yes, do applaud. Applaud when you speak a positive phrase. Do applaud. Applaud when you hear a person give a talk that is uplifting and supportive. Always show your approval of the world in which you live. I always show my approval of the world in which I live. I am unconditionally loving. I find love in all things, and I tickle something sometimes just to see what sort of response I'm going to get. But I know the truth. And I say, wasn't that something? And I mean, that surely was something. And then somebody else, just to be obstreperous, just to be different, will say, no, it wasn't. Oh, they didn't really come up with anything good. Why did you listen to it? Why did you present them? Why did you offer these things to happen if it is not the very best? Why did you entertain them in your heart? Why didn't you see the redeeming quality of whatever it is that you are participating in? Look for the silver lining, oh my, yes. Look for the redeeming quality in whatever it is you participate in. For surely you would not be participating in anything unless it very definitely had a very wonderful redeeming quality about it. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever given your attention to something like that? Have you ever realized just what that means? What does it mean to find the redeeming quality of anything? I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. What's the redeeming quality of that? Well, I am the ideal spirit, mind, and body. And not the ideal, I am ideal. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. 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 My heart tingles with joy. Every corpuscle of my body, every portion of my body, every atom in my body is vibrating with the ideal quality which it is. And that is me. I am the energy of the universe, the vibration of the universe, the quality of goodness of the universe. I am the allness of the universe. I am me. As we say that of ourselves, we soar in ecstasy. We soar in completeness. We soar in the allness that we are. And we feel just so wonderful. And isn't that what it's all about? Indeed it is. To feel so wonderful. I say to myself at a meal, I'm going to eat a third portion. And I sometimes fall away from my choice to have a third portion, and when I do, my body says, hey, you're giving me much more than I need. You're giving me much more than I want. You're forgetting your promise to yourself that you're going to do what you want to do, to be in control of what goes in and what goes out, to be in control of the thoughts that go into your mind and the thoughts that are being expressed in your world. You're in control of the air that you breathe. It is always the ideal air, pure, beautiful, fantastic. You're in control of the water you drink. It is the most ideal, pure, wonderful water. You're in control of the food that you eat. Each morsel you eat with joy. I throw a carrot to my dog, and he chops the carrot a few seconds and then down the hatch. And I say, "You didn't even taste that, my goodness sake." And I give him a piece of bread or a piece of toast, especially with peanut butter on it. And he will take it and he'll go, gulp, 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 right down the hatch. And then the peanut butter will still lie on his upper jaw and on his tongue. And he'll go slurp, 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 until the taste is all gone. But how wise would I be just to give him a fingerful of peanut butter and let him slurp on it for a long while, saying, "Mmm, yum, 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 yum." Just a little bit. But I give him a larger portion and bump, it's down the throat. Well, did he need it? No, he didn't. He would probably keep eating all the time if I were to feed him. But because I use judgment and feed him only a portion that I feel is the portion that is good for him, even though I'm tempted to give him all that he wants, all that he would eat, and he would eat forever. Yes, he would eat forever. Yes, we too forget that we allow ourselves with our primitive nature sometimes to eat forever. We allow ourselves the thought that we would like to sit and read forever. We'd like to be voracious. But we should be like William James, and as we read, we remember what we read. We read voraciously, but we remember what we read, and we apply it in our life. And those who are not great readers, what difference does that make? They apply the wisdom within themselves. They listen within themselves. And as they listen within themselves, they know all things. They have that delight in affirmations to say, "I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows all things." And keep affirming that, keep knowing that, keep living that, and keep experiencing that. As I say this affirmation continuously, wonderfully completed, I don't notice what's going on in my world. But just as I would practice on the piano, little by little I would improve. Little by little I would become more professional, and little by little I would do things more grandly. And I would not realize that that's happening to me, because it is my nature revealing itself. And so it is our nature revealing ourselves when we say, "I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer." Affirming that, little by little, we find the realization coming true in our life. And we don't even notice it happening, because we are so one with the affirmation. We are so one with the principle that we are speaking about, we're living, and we're doing. And our life is a great joy. Our life is a great expression of all that is good and beautiful. Yes, affirmations revisited are very important for me, for you, for everyone in our world. Affirmations revisited are something that we can never get enough of, that wonderful stuff. But we have to apply ourselves as we're learning. We have to live our affirmations. We have to live what we believe about ourselves, and we do. Don't think we don't. If your life is filled with peace and joy, it's because you've been affirming peace and joy. If you have anything else, it's because you've been affirming that. Whatever we affirm defines itself in our life affairs, our body, and who we are. Now, we can say it never worked in the past, and that may be true. But let's let it work now, and let's forget the past, and live in the now, and live in the awareness that my affirmations function, and I choose carefully what affirmations I will allow in my heart, in my soul, in my being, in my world, in my body. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am my affirmation about myself now and forevermore. I love you. I love you. I love you.